You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mostly opened up with my Peacock impression, but I'm going to keep that in my back pocket for a few minutes because had I just opened up with it,
we might not have them by 9:15.
Well, you would have thought that I was having a heart attack or a stroke or something, and people driving around the streets of Los Angeles would have had accidents because peacocks make the world's worst noise, and I can do it perfectly, and I'm going to hit you with it at some point today. Are you ready for that?
Well, first of all, no, absolutely not ready for that. That's number one. Number two, how many people do you think are driving around saying, Sliwa, Trav, enough of this Dodger and Laker talk. Who cares what happens to the Clippers? Tell me what's going on with this Peacock situation.
they're everywhere. They always have been, but apparently the vid has helped them thrive.
Yeah, they're thriving now.
There are less people out there. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. I'm looking at you on our Zoom call here, Slee, are not in your yellow, orange, or purple, or red T-shirt. Are you not getting ready for this? What's your deal? I thought that you're all in on
Jazz Nation
stunt casting.
Yep, on Jazz Nation. Here's the thing, Trav. There's a group of us, and we kind of have a theme of how we do it. We don't rock the gear until afternoon, right? You can't do it in the morning. There's a lot that kind of goes into it. So I don't want to get into all the details here, but Jazz Nation tonight, tip off at what time is that game at?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Jazz Nation tonight. Jazz Nation.
I love that you're that guy. I love that you're the guy.
A 9-year-old kid.
Right, right. My team is out. Therefore, I want everyone else's team to be out too and miserable. That I have no affiliation with the Jazz there, but I want them to win because I don't want anyone else to share in the good times. I like that about you.
Joe Ingles is my third favorite player in the league. LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Joe Ingles.
What was the line yesterday from the Twitter that hate is healing?
Unbelievable.
You fully embrace that. I like
that. That guy hits you on Twitter basically saying, hey, can we go back to Paul George? Don't be too nice to him. I need this. I need this. That guy, it was like therapy for the dude.
Absolutely. How are you feeling this morning? You're kind of entering a new phase of your broadcast career here where you're not on at night. You don't have to go back to the studio later in the day. And I'm not going to lie, you look pretty fresh. You look like you're ready to go.
Here's the reality. The reality is I think you asked me kind of a similar question. Yesterday was like the first full day of there was no Lakers talk
done
either.
Done with your day at 11 o'clock.
Right. There was no Lakers talk either. So I felt like I got a lot done. And then I looked at the clock. I'm like, it's 4 p.m. Like, what do I do here? At Suns and the Phoenix game wasn't going to start. Suns-Denver wasn't going to start till 6:30. I'm like, what the hell is – how does this work here? You know what happened? Actually, the opposite happened yesterday. Mm. I got into bed. It was like 10 o'clock. I'm like, oh, we're just going to get a good amount of sleep. I just kind of sat there for a good 45 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go watch some TV, and then just ended up watching TV and eating late at night.
Let me just put this in there. You do you. I'm not trying to bully you into anything. I'm just going to give you all of your options. That when we're done at 11, you and I will typically, have a conversation after the show, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is.
Yep.
And then, let's just for round numbers say that you're done at noon. Okay? Day drinking. I would suggest that you.
I thought about
really,
that yesterday.
Really,
no,
get into
I
the
definitely
habit
thought about that yesterday.
Of every day around 12, 12:30, just knock back 6 or 7 beers. Just see what happens. Just see how that affects your life and your career. I think that would be a really strong play on your half.
Slee was hungover every morning in the off season. Every morning, that's the hungover show.
That's the beauty of day drinking. If you start at noon
early
and
enough,
and you shut it down by say 6 or 7, you're fine.
You're fresh by 6 a.m.
That's right. You just I'm here to help you, Slee. I'm here to make sure
I appreciate
that you get what you need to. All right. Let's start with what we were talking about a minute ago. The Clippers. I'll tell you right now, I think the season is on the line tonight. I think that this goes one of two ways. If the Clippers lose again tonight, they're not going to come back from an 0-2 hole like they did last time for all the for the reasons that we saw. They're not the home team. They're going to have to find a way to win a game in Utah at some point, and these are their best opportunities. No Mike Conley. They had a 13-point lead at the half of that game. They were in
why was that brushed?
That
why was that brushed so calmly and quietly that, oh, no, Clippers are good, they're fine? By the way, I mean, if you said, hey, you got to pick one of these two teams tonight, I would tell you that I think the Clippers will win tonight and they will tie the series. But with that being said, I kind of found that so confusing yesterday. Right, the reaction of people about the Clippers' loss. I heard this on a couple different times that, oh, no, that was a good loss. What does that mean? Like, help me understand what that means, especially in the Clippers situation where they were expected to win game one without Mike Conley, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think it's always difficult when you're on the road. I don't know if you're ever favored necessarily. Certainly their
or
odds
maybe because you were up 13 or
yeah,
at
put
some
it
of that.
This way. At the half, without Mike Conley and with a 13-point lead, they certainly were favored. I want to go back to something you said a second ago. The good luck. There is no such thing in the playoffs. It's too short. There is such a thing as a good loss, or at least a productive loss during the regular season. You get some production from a guy maybe you didn't see, or you find something, a rotation piece that maybe you didn't think was going to work. That exists. But in the playoffs, you can only afford to lose three of these games. You can't have one of them be a good one, right? Hey, we're down 0-1. Our season's on the brink coming up in 2 days, but good loss, guys. Way to go. We really showed them that we know how to lose productively. That's not what this is in the playoffs.
Is that an expectation? I mean, is that...
It absolutely is.
And that's why I'm asking, because Lakers lost game one against the Suns. Did anybody say that was a good loss?
Right.
Was there anybody sitting back and saying, oh, no, this is... Hey, you got something to build off of this? No, you don't really... What are you building off of? By the way, it's kind of a similar situation, too. When I say that, all I'm talking about is... Suns were obviously the home team. Utah's a home team on the Clippers. But the conversation for the next 48 hours when the Lakers lost game one, people were relentless on the Lakers, myself included. Hey, where's Anthony Davis? What are they doing? Is LeBron going to step up when he needs to? Where are the role players? I felt like a lot of the conversation yesterday about the Clippers. And, Travis, is this an expectation thing? The expectation's different for the Clippers and the Lakers. Is it that simple?
Yeah, it is. Because the Clippers escaping a first-round calamity was looked at as a victory. The Lakers losing in the first round on the heels of winning a championship a year ago was looked at as a disaster. And I would think that it probably was. If you're the defending champs and you go out in the first round the next year, that's nothing to that's bad season. And the Lakers are, like we've talked about before, one of a handful of teams in all professional sports where it's binary. It's either it's a good season, you won the championship, or it's a bad season. That's their bar, and that's what
especially
you get.
Especially where they are, right? Because
yeah.
I mean, I know, and we heard this a lot back in like the 2016 and the 70s. Well, Lakers, it's championship or not. No, it's not, because it's not realistic. This team is obviously realistic, right?
Yeah,
right.
No, they're capable of doing it. We just saw it be done. So to go back to the Clippers for a second, I don't know why the conversation has changed. That if you go back to 0-2 to the Dallas Mavericks, or even 3-3 going into the Game 7 against the Dallas Mavericks, the conversation was, if the Clippers lose here, what the hell are they going to do? Does Kawhi decide to leave? They just fired the coach. They just brought, Doc Rivers is gone and Ty Lue is in. You can't really make a coaching change. You don't have any picks to go out and try to find somebody in the draft because you gave them all away to go get Paul George. You're out in the first round. Now what? So that was the conversation at that point. They managed to escape. Fine. Why is it any different right now? I don't understand why getting exactly where you were a year ago and losing to the exact same spot. I mean, different team, obviously. It's not Dallas, or excuse me, it's not Denver again. It's Utah. But why would be being out in the second round being, hey, we're on the right track? Why? It's the exact same movie all over again with a bad ending.
And I think if that story plays out, first of all, then I'm going to Jazz road games. Like now I'm even. I got to put my credential in for Jazz Clippers at Staples Center. But if that scenario played out, I do think the media would definitely, and fan bases, I think they'd turn on the Clippers. I think there would be a lot more of a conversation of, this is a fail. Your organization is failing. You cannot go out. And remember the expectation. Remember when Paul George and Kawhi happened together, right? Mm-hmm. Remember when that just happened? That shook the NBA. I mean, that shook the NBA. And the expectations were done with this whole, well, they've never been past the second round. No, the expectations became, that's the favorite to win an NBA championship. That's one of two or three teams that have a shot of winning an NBA chip. Them and the Lakers are the two teams that are going to battle each other. How crazy is that? They'll still have never battled each other in the playoffs.
I know.
Those are the two teams that are going to cross paths to win in it or to fight for an NBA championship. So I actually do feel if they lost to Utah, and I'm going to make this case, and everybody knows how big of a Laker fan I am, but just let's be
not
real
as
on this.
Not as much as the Jazz, but go ahead.
Well, Jazz, listen, there's a lot of history there between my dad from the Middle East to Salt Lake. That's where we went first. Big hey Middle guys, Eastern let's, community in
let's,
Salt Lake
let's
City.
Let's touch up Salt Lake City first. That's going to be our first stop. The Sliwa clan is moving to Salt Lake.
Love Provo.
Great spot.
Okay, so what I was saying, Trav, I think ultimately at the end of the day for the Clippers, the West is wide open for them. If you said right now, Alan, you got to pick one team you think is going to come out of the Western Conference, shouldn't it be the Clippers? Shouldn't it be?
You know, it's a good question, Sleigh.
Health is there. Talent is there. Mm-hmm. Experience is there. There's champions on that roster. Isn't it the Clippers?
I think if they
don't get to the finals, isn't it a disappointing season for them?
I think that that's a really good question. I think that that's a good answer. But no, I don't think it is, because the Clippers stink doesn't wash off that easy. It doesn't wash off as easy as, okay, you dodged a bullet with the Mavericks. I watched Phoenix last night. They're damn good. Mm-hmm. They're really, really good.
They're clicking.
I'll eat some crow right now. They're much better than I thought they were.
And that Chris Paul that we didn't even really get in the first round because he was injured,
amazing.
Now he's starting to look like Chris Paul again. So you think, compared to the field in the Western Conference, you don't see Clippers getting to the finals?
I think the only team I see in the West right now that I would say there's no chance they get to the finals is Denver. Denver is the one team of the four remaining. They say no. If the Clippers got there, I wouldn't be stunned. If the Jazz got there, not at all. If Phoenix got there, not at all. So I don't know if the Clippers are in any better spot. They're in a worse spot now because they're in an 0-1 hole. They're going to be in an impossible spot if they get into an 0-2 hole. And I get what we're going to do. I get what the fans are going to do. I understand the reaction will be, there go the Clippers again, right? And I know that the Clipper fan reaction will be, yeah, well, at least they got farther than the Lakers, which that tells you all you need to know about them. If that's how they live, the Lakers went out before us. Yeah, they did. That's fine, but that's stupid.
Don't make those comparisons, because look what I'm doing in my pettiness of cheering for the Jazz. So no, let's not hold anybody to standards right now.
Hate is healing. Don't forget that.
That's right.
My question isn't about the fans and the media. It's what does the organization do? What mm-hmm. do you do if you're Steve Ballmer, if you're Ty Lue, and you're looking at your team saying, okay, this doesn't work. We've had two really good opportunities. They had a good opportunity last year, blew a 3-1 lead. They had a good opportunity this year where the best team in the West got
and
knocked out
the
first
Lakers
round.
And the Lakers are out.
That's it.
Right.
That's right. They got knocked out in the first round. The deck has been cleared for us to make a run. We're out in the exact same spot we were before. What do you do? Do you do what they did before, which is, run it back. DeAndre, Blake, and Chris, run it back. Let's see what happens. And you just keep running into the same brick wall at the same spot over and over and over again? Hmm. Or do you do something drastic?
Yeah, that's actually a good way to put it. I never really thought about that. If you look back at those Clippers with Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, and Blake Griffin, if that team, which team would you say, if you're comparing the two rosters and the two times of when one team was winning, when the other team was winning, which roster would have, you know, obviously the better chance to – which roster would have been more disappointing if they didn't just get to the Western Conference Finals, right?
This one.
I think this one too. No question about it. Yeah, I agree with you. I think this one too. I think this is the chance. So when you say what do they do as an organization, some of it they don't control. A big piece of it they don't control. What does Kawhi do? Right? If you're Kawhi Leonard and you come into this offseason and you're 0-2 with the Clippers and you haven't even got past the second round in both of those years, you know what's going to happen next year, Trav? Warriors are going to get better. That competition is going to be better. Utah's not going to get any worse. Dallas is only going to get better. Phoenix is going to get better. Lakers are going to get healthier. The West isn't going to get any easier. So I don't know. It's an interesting question because Kawhi chose the Clippers over the Lakers, and he had his reasons for it. Is what it is. All good. This is, you know, you choose kind of your own path. But a lot of this, I think, is going to fall on the back of Kawhi Leonard. I think the Clippers, if they don't get past the second round, I do think they roll the ball back out again and give it another shot.
All right. I'm considering giving you my Peacock impression in next. Considering it. No guarantees, but I'm at least going to give it some serious consideration. And Pat Riley said something about LeBron that cost him a little bit of money. That's not the part that interests me. What interests me is what is the meaning behind all of it? We'll get into that next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. So I don't think I'm ready, Slee. More to the point.
Your song, by the way?
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I don't know what this is.
I just feel like you go for a quick drive, go get Starbucks or something. I feel like this song always comes on for you. Windows are down. You got one of your arms just hanging out, and kind of the seat is kind of
bobbing his head.
Yeah, just kind of seat folding back a little bit.
Pot it up a little bit, Taylor, so I can hear it.
And I feel like you have a huge decal in the back of your car that just says, 949. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you must have seen me going down the road, going down Crown Valley Boulevard Parkway.
Lowered Honda Civic.
Yep,
that's me. Tinted windows that you always get pulled over for.
Flat brim hat, slightly askew. Right, that's my deal.
Huge spoiler guy.
You know, exactly. Yeah, spoiler. I like to rev my engine at all the red lights.
Can someone explain? By the way, can someone explain that whole world to me?
Say that again, Slee.
Can someone explain that whole world to me?
I can't. I'm sure somebody can. I can't do it.
What, the Fast and Furious world?
The Fast and Furious world. Yeah, I never understood
it too, man. They go out every Thursday night to some clued places and they do these street races. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't understand
that. Okay, I'm going to give it a shot. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Here's the Straight Talk, Slee.
Mm-hmm.
When I do go get a coffee or something, you know, just a quick little errand or something, and it's a nice day. Yeah, like yesterday, for instance, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful, beautiful
Can't beat
day.
The weather right now. Can't no, beat the weather right now.
It's perfect. This is when you go outside today, and when you go outside in like January and February, and it's perfect like it is, that's why we live and that's why it's expensive and all of those things.
Yeah.
But so yesterday, I had to drop my son off at baseball, and then I had to put gas in the car. So it's a nice day, right? So I roll down the windows, have the radio on. It's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the radio on, not loud because I'm old and that's not my jam, but loud enough to where when I pulled up to the red light next to another car that had its window down, I was worried that they were going to hear what I was listening to, and I didn't want to have to go through that, so I turned it down a little more.
That's my man.
I turned
That's
it down. I did have
That's
my
why
arm
we get along.
Up in the window. Like, so I have my elbow on the window or the door frame, and I'm kind of holding onto the roof of the car, kind of like that, right? And I'm like, this looks ridiculous. So I very quickly pulled my arm back into the car and sat there and looked straight ahead. I'm that guy. I am so wildly self-conscious in those moments. I hate it so much.
So with all that said, you still always have – so I'm sure you were in flip-flops yesterday. You always have your left foot out.
Out the window.
Yeah. You have your left foot out the window. And then, you know, just kind of take it from there.
Dad, you drive really slow. I said, well – yeah, and that's my insurance rates we're talking about here. This is the point in my life that we've entered.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Not worried about music and looking good. I'm worried about, you know, if I drive slow, it's less likely to get in an accident, which means I'm more likely to have a nice insurance rate.
I'm waiting for you to yell at him. Have you seen it? Insurance is skyrocketing. What are you talking
matter
about,
with you, kid? You think these premiums pay themselves? All right,
what kid have I raised?
Pat Riley said something about LeBron in an interview that was I'll give you the quote was, you know, I'll leave a key under the mat for him. If he ever wants to come back, I'll leave a key under the mat. He gets fined, what was it, $25,000 for tampering? Or whatever,
I would call it an investment. I would call it an investment.
Yeah,
that's what that was.
That's a good way of looking at it. But it made me think. LeBron James is not going back to Miami, at least not anytime soon.
Yep.
And they left on less than perfect terms, so I'm sure this is an attempt at bridge building more than anything else. Mm-hmm. So that's off to the side. What interests me is how much more – because when he said it, I started thinking, okay, how many more years does LeBron have as LeBron James? How many more years does – when the season starts, we all kind of understand that LeBron's the best player. He was last year up until he got hurt. Mm-hmm. When the season started, we were, okay, let's see, coming off a championship, MVP of the finals, let's see, this is year number 17.
By the way, we've been playing this game for a few years, right? Even his first year coming to the Lakers, people are like, bro, it's done. LeBron's not going
to
do that much.
It's a retirement
job. He's here for Hollywood, right. Space Jam's coming, all that stuff. That conversation's been going on since what year did he come?
3 years ago, so 2018.
2018,
right?
Yeah. Yep.
So – if that's what's taking place then, and by the way, even then, it wasn't a ridiculous conversation.
No.
It turns out it was wrong, but it wasn't. If you would have said at that point, look, LeBron's best years are in the rearview mirror. He's still going to be effective, but he's not going to be LeBron. Wrong. Championship, MVP of the finals, and was on an MVP course last year until a random guy slides in and sprains his ankle.
Sure. Sure.
Right? This wasn't a non-contact injury. This wasn't where he went to explode.
No.
And his Achilles blew out.
This was a loose ball, a player kind of, you know, a lot of people said that was a
reckless
is the right word. Reckless to then take LeBron James off course of where he was.
Right. So the question I started thinking about with the Riley comments is how many more years can we genuinely expect LeBron James to be LeBron James? Because we're getting to that point where it's already unprecedented. We're already at a point where a man past his mid-30s is still the best player in the league, where we still expect him to fix everything just by being that good of a player.
Sure.
How many more years of that can you reasonably expect? Because I'll tell you what, this is going to sound ridiculous. I think he's got a lot more left in the tank.
Hmm.
Because he was that dude right up until he got hurt. Had he blown it out on a non-contact, I'd change my tune. Had he been able to go into the offseason and rehab and come back and then didn't look right again, I'd change my tune. But this is an accident. This wasn't an injury that just popped up. I still think at the beginning of next season that LeBron James is on the very short list of best players in the league and a guy that if you had to play one more season would still be one of the top two or three guys taken off the board.
You know what, I've Trav, the last couple of years, first 2 years Anthony Davis has been here. So Lakers make the trade for AD, and I started talking about how I want to see AD be the best player on the team. Not that I thought Anthony Davis was the best player, but if he becomes the best player on the team, I've done this 2 years in a row and I was 0 for 2, okay? That if he becomes the best player on the team, then LeBron James can kind of pace himself. LBJ can do what he does in the regular season, dish out 10, 12 dimes a game, kind of control games, but he doesn't have to do it on pure athleticism, having to get to the basket every possession. We're complaining that he's not taking enough shots in the paint. Where's his defense? No, no. Let LeBron kind of ease his way to where we get into the playoffs, and then LeBron can kind of start taking over and do what he does. I was 0 for 2. LeBron's been the best player on the Lakers the first 2 years Anthony Davis has been here. More reliable, controls the game. When he comes out, everything just kind of explodes. I'm not 100% sure what we got coming up with LeBron. I don't. I think for the first time, I'm kind of asking myself, okay, this will be his 19th season like you mentioned. The expectations aren't going to get any easier. The Western Conference is only going to get better. I think my bigger question has less to do with LeBron. It has more to do with, is Anthony Davis going to take that next step? When does Anthony Davis, I don't know if take over the team is the right thing, but when does he become on par with LeBron James?
Never.
Well, no, it's going to happen at some point because LeBron will.
No. LeBron declines, yes. I thought you meant, is he going to get to that level and be able to be the guy that carries that kind of
weight? Just on that barometer, if AD is still up or peaking or whatever, at some point LeBron's going to have to start going down.
That's a different conversation and a good one. But Anthony Davis is exactly what you've gotten through the first 10 years of his career.
Which is an amazing player.
An NBA champion, and a guy that you absolutely positively want on your team. What he is not is the guy that says, I'll do it myself, get out of the way. Not without LeBron standing close by.
But can't LeBron stand close by? Let me use next year as an example. Can't LeBron stand close by? Hey, I'm here if you need me. And AD kind of over time say, I know you're there, but I have to make it happen. There's only so much we can ask you to do. That's always been my question with Anthony Davis. I felt like that was going to happen at some point over the last 2 years. And it's not that AD. Listen, that championship run the Lakers had, Anthony Davis was incredible. He was amazing. But the best player on the floor has always been LeBron James. So LeBron's got 2 years left on his contract. Will next year be that year that you start to see, like you were mentioning, you don't think it is because the way LeBron James ended this year, it wasn't just because LeBron James wasn't LBJ. He was coming off an injury that if the injury happened in January, they probably would have held him out much longer so he can get back to full health. They never had that opportunity. Remember, they tried bringing him back. Then he was out for six more games. Then you only had two more games left before playoffs throw him in there. And then you were in the postseason against the Suns.
The Gladiator quote that he dropped the other day, I think, is meaningful, right? Because I think it demonstrates his mindset. I think it demonstrates the ability, because there comes a point where every athlete wants to but can't. Right, that I had an old coach that used to say, you know, the mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. In other words, you know what to do, you know how to do it, but when it comes time to pull the trigger, your body just says, "Nah, can't do it anymore." That the mind is saying, "Go, go, go, go," and you're like, "Nah, I can't get by this guy." It happens to everybody, but LeBron's quote right there leads me to believe that he knows that it's still there, that he knows he can still do it, and I long ago got out of the business of thinking that LeBron was going to hit the wall. I know it's going to happen eventually. I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. And what I mean by that is the next year or two. And they already got a chip. They already have a championship. They already have one of these things in their back pocket. So the move to get LeBron, the move to get Anthony Davis, has already paid dividends. Unlike the Clippers, who made these moves, and they're exactly where they were before. They're in a much different place.
There was a good article Funch just sent over on Yahoo Sports. I'll find who exactly wrote it. But it's kind of breaking down, right, what the Lakers can do this offseason. And listen, this is a major question for what the Lakers can do this offseason, because they'll be restricted in some shape, way, or form. We know that Dennis Schroeder, Wesley Matthews, Montrezl Harrell, Andre Drummond, Alex Caruso, there are a number of players that can go find different opportunities this upcoming season or this in this offseason. We know THT is restricted. I really think this, Trav, and I said this earlier, and there were a couple names that came up in this article, that I think this has got to be the priority for the Lakers. I get the whole, you got to find as many role players as you can. This is Ben Rohrbach who wrote the article. I get the whole, you know, got to try to find role players, and as many role players as you can get could be helpful, blah, 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 all that stuff. At the end of the day, Trav, because of the way we describe LeBron James, the way we've described Anthony Davis, I think they got to be more top-heavy. You know, I think I'd rather have a vet that's been in the league for 12 years than, and it kind of has that championship run, than two or three players that you think are talented but have not had that run before. The guys like the DeMar DeRozans, the Kyle Lowrys, it's going to take a lot to figure out how to make it happen. But I think that's the stage Lakers are in. Part of it is because where LeBron James is in his career.
All right, so that's LeBron. Let's get to the more important things. Let's talk some Peacocks and what's happening in Arcadia and Pasadena and San Marino. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. Cannot wait for Ask Slee coming up tomorrow. I don't know if you saw
that. They kind of pre-promoted already.
Yeah. Well, you sent out your tweet saying what we're going to talk about, and that's fine. That's important.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
But I just wanted to make sure everybody know that Ask Slee is coming up tomorrow. That's the most important.
I was dying laughing yesterday. We were doing Ask Slee, and we got a couple of pretty funny tweets. A dude literally ate an apple to the core and then sent us a picture and said, "This is when you know the apple is done." Your response to him was, "Two more bites."
Yeah. A core is a two-bite snack. Top half, bottom half. Maybe you don't have to eat the stem. You can pull the stem off. The stem's kind of gross, but the rest of it, power through it.
You going to finish that? The best, we need this combination. You getting in an Uber, front seat, the Uber driver's eating an apple, and then you telling the Uber driver, let me get the rest of that.
Let me show you how this works. Wasting food. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Speaking of some tweets, Slee, let me read a couple of these because they're good. And don't forget, all of you that are listening right now, this is an important part of the show. At Travis Rogers, at Alan Sliwa, send them whenever you want. We'll read as
hit us with some tweets
as we can. Francis in Glendale. Anthony Davis will take the next step next season. And then Wentz grab his leg and limp away. See, that's the, again, funny, mean, and oddly accurate. You know what I mean? That's the part that makes you go, yeah, that's really funny, but my oh my. That's
shut everybody up, AD. On. Just shut everybody up.
That would be the best thing.
Yeah,
here's another one.
Of course.
John writes, speaking of Denver, Jokic is joining the great line of other token MVP winners that hang around to the second round to receive their MVP trophy, then get eliminated right after. What up, Harden, Giannis, and Westbrook? Does feel like that's about to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's probably going to happen. I mean, I was telling Funches this before we started the show. How good is that Denver squad if Jamal Murray's there?
That's
the one thing I will say. As we talk about the Lakers and what the future is going to look like the next couple of years, what's the future going to look like for the Los Angeles Clippers? I'll tell you what, one team you don't have to worry about their future. Denver's, that's the team over the next 3 years in the Western Conference. As some of these teams get older, Denver's the young crop kind of ready to take over in the Western Conference.
Yeah, they're going to be the West is getting better every single year. Remember when the idea was, well, LeBron's in the East, and you know, mm-hmm. LeBron, and then he comes over here and he does his business, and it's just loading up all over again. All right, let's do this. So I grew up in Arcadia. I am a proud graduate of Arcadia High School, class of 1989, and the home that I grew up in is directly behind the Los Angeles County Arboretum.
Okay.
I'm sure that a lot of people here in the city have been to the Arboretum. It's beautiful. There's trees and plants and ponds and animals and all of these things. One of the animals that is in the Arboretum are peacocks. And, you know, peacocks, like peacocks, big plume of feathers. They're beautiful. They have big white, or I'm sorry, blue heads. They're a very, very beautiful animal. They are taking over Arcadia. They are taking over Pasadena because they're not caged. They're not like put in a cage. They can leave whenever they want. Peacocks, for those of you that don't know, can fly. Okay, so they can cover some distance. They're not like an eagle. They're not soaring through the air like a hawk, but they can fly. So they can get up in trees and they can fly over a freeway or whatever it is. They can fly.
So what does it mean they're taking over? What does that mean?
They're in the way. And so this is the point. So this is to your point. What does it mean? Here's what it means. They're pooping everywhere. Mm-hmm. They're making a huge mess. Again, my house was right behind it. There was more peacock excrement than anything else in this neighborhood. The neighborhood was lousy. That's one thing that you can kind of deal with it. Whatever. Here's the problem. Peacocks make noise, Slee.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? This is the noise.
Let me add this. It says here in this article that there's hundreds of peacocks have been standing in homeowners' lawns, rooftops, and casually sitting or walking down the sidewalks, which I've seen them before in Pasadena. They are all over the place, and they're beautiful. But, yeah, there are a lot of times I'm like, what the hell? It's the same crew, the same family that I saw a week ago?
Nope. Well, they reproduce. They're you know, they're not quite rabbits, but peacocks make more peacocks. That's how it works. So where there's two, then there's four, then there's eight, then there's 16. That's just math, right?
Okay, what am I about to expect here? What's happening here? Because you have been very excited about something, and I'm confused of where we're going here.
So here's what it is. Not only do they make a mess with their droppings, and not only do you have to, it's a crime if you run them over in your car. You can't.
Yeah, probably shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do any of those.
You just kind of have to let them be. Mm-hmm. Which would be fine, except for the noise that they make. And anybody that is in Pasadena or San Marino or Arcadia or anywhere around there has heard this noise. Maybe you didn't even know what it was, but this is what it is. They go up into the trees, and then very early in the morning, they make this honk scream sound that sounds exactly like this. and they do it from the moment the sun comes up. You're thinking rooster, you're thinking other bird. They do it all morning long. So while you're kind of starting to try to get your day started, maybe you get to sleep in, you get over and over. There it is. That's it. That's it.
That's pretty close.
That is the sound of my. I remember I moved from Phoenix, born in L.A. Moved.
I was very nervous about the noise you were going to make. I actually turned down the volume a little bit. I'm like, I don't know where this is going. I just know I'm going to get tweets saying, "Hey Al, what the hell is going on right now, and why is Trav making that noise?"
So here, Funch, play it again. Play this song from.
I'll sleep right through it. No problem. Okay. Sleep right through it.
So here it is. That's what they do. I've heard it from the time I was 12 to the time I left for college every damn morning. When I first moved into that house, okay, I remember waking up going, there's a fight in the street. There's two, like, animals destroying each other in front of my house. Nothing makes this sound. I remember going to
I'm going to read a quote from the article. This is the worst quote I've ever read in my life. Somebody describing the noise. They said, they wake me up at dawn. They sound like babies being tortured through a microphone, a very large microphone, and that's probably the start of my complaints. What do I do with that?
It's what they do. By the way, I'm going to give myself some credit. That's pretty good.
That's your best impression.
Forget the impression. The fact that you're comfortable with saying, I'm going to do that impression on a microphone in LA is more impressive than the actual impression.
Go to the Arboretum and go enjoy the beautiful scenery and go take a look at the peacocks. And when you hear that sound, you'll be like, you know, Travis must be here. Travis visiting the old neighborhood and he's around.
All right, so Peacock's taking over Southern California.
And just one last thing, Slee.
Yeah, yeah.
There may or may not be a hole in the back fence that you can sneak through and go in and catch fish in the pond. I'm not saying that I ever did that. I'm just saying that when I was 13, there may or may not have been a hole in the back fence that you
could actually
walk
pretty
right
cool
through.
That was your backyard.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
I'm not kidding. My friend Bob Richter and I, and we would go – I think we'd actually climb the fence, but there's barbed wire around most of it, but not all of it. Mm-hmm. And you could go right over. We'd take pencils, wrap fishing line around them, and go catch fish out of the pond.
Come on,
you're not supposed to do that, but we did. It was the 80s. The rules were different.
Not encouraged. It wasn't encouraged.
No. I'm not recommending that anybody go do this, but that's a thing that is happening. All right, so the Suns, Slee, last night, they looked really good. Does that make you feel any better about the fact that the Lakers are at home, knowing that Phoenix is a much better team than we thought they were?
You know what's weird? First of all, it does not at all. I was telling Funch, I'm like, why do I want Phoenix to lose so bad? And I do. And is it because they beat the Lakers, or is it because Denver's an underdog and I'd love to see Denver kind of continue to have this storyline without Jamal Murray? But I'm watching the game yesterday. I'm like, Mike Malone, call a freaking timeout. What are we doing on offense here, guys? We got to regroup. I mean, literally watching the game as if I have a dog in the fight or something along those lines. But I will say the one thing I think it does with Phoenix, Suns are playing some great basketball. That momentum that they got off the Lakers win is obviously carrying into this next series. But at Travis, maybe it doesn't make me feel better because it's even more disappointing knowing that, man, if Anthony Davis was just healthy and you were up 2-1 on Phoenix and you had a chance to go up 3-1 at Staples Center, you kind of would have been just walking into the Western Conference Finals. You know what I mean? And I think that's the part that it doesn't make – sometimes people say, well, if that team won the championship and you lost against that team, then that should make you feel better, not making me feel better on this one.
No, they were better than Phoenix up until AD became unavailable. I agree with you. It makes it actually worse, not better. Let's try a quick one here. Our pal Manuel in Gardena. Manuel, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Oh, Slee, Stack, T-Raj. So look, I was enthralled by the peafowl talk, okay? Yes. I do a lot of work in PV Peninsula area, San Pedro area. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but these peafowl run amok, dude. Like you're saying, it once dusk hits too, Trav, right?
Yep.
I mean, they just start going at it. And then what you didn't mention was that these things drop turds like a 6'4 lineman. I mean,
well, I didn't
holy
like that.
Smokes, dude. But Trav, come on. I know you've had some yard time where you're like, did some drunk stumble in here or was this a damn piece out? Because they got these landmines, dude, that are just ridiculous. Well, beautiful yes. birds, though, right?
Yes. No, I they're mean, very pretty. Thank you, man. Well, I hate to cut you off, but we're kind of up against it here. You're not wrong.
I love that Manuel just called to add to the peacock story. Okay.
To the peacock excrement component of the – look, they're big birds. This isn't a sparrow or even a crow or a seagull. It's the size of a huge turkey. Think of the biggest turkey you've ever seen. That's how big they are. So just do the math from there, and it's a little uncomfortable. The Bunch of Funcha Munch of Lunch is all coming up next. It's Travis Ensley, 710 ESPN. What do you got for us, Funch?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, guys. Last night, Inside NBA was on as Charles Barkley tried to make one of his infamous predictions, his guarantees. I don't know if you've been watching lately, but they have like a guarantee button, and every time he makes a guarantee or a prediction, they push it, and things start to happen, and some craziness goes on.
Has he had a right prediction in the last 2 years?
I mean, I think the only prediction he had was like the Lakers losing to the Suns, I think.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He had Blazers sweeping the Lakers last year, if you remember that.
That's terrible.
He's had some very interesting predictions. Okay, so what happened yesterday?
So yesterday, they he did another guarantee or whatever, and when he pressed the button, like some kind of circus bit came out, with a person on a unicycle, a juggler, and also a lady brought out a huge like boa constrictor snake,
That's
and it was like 8 to 10 feet, where Charles Barkley jumped out of his chair and ran like I've never seen no man ever do. Got me to thinking today, if you guys have any fears of any animals, insects, or creatures.
Slee?
Not a fear, but, I mean, who's looking at a spider and saying, oh, that's a cute little guy right there. Bring this guy over. Get a couple more in here, you know? I've never – have you ever – Trav, have you ever had a – like that type, that size of a snake. You know how some people put it, they'll bring them out and they'll put it around your neck or something along those lines.
Britney Spears comes to mind. Yeah. Continue. Yes.
Have you ever had
that big? Yeah, I've had a little, 2 foot snake around my neck. Yes.
I love it. The snake that they brought out yesterday was a linebacker. Okay. I mean, the thing was huge.
I get that. I'm not putting that thing around my neck. I have two. So there are many, many ways that I do not want to check out, but the number one way I don't want to check out is being consumed by an animal. That is one of my greatest fears, that I do not want to be eaten by an apex predator.
Do you watch a lot of those, like National Geographic and everything else?
I am oddly drawn to them because, look, they're going
to
get...
That's not a good way to go. That's
not
a good way to go.
A snake can eat you whole. A snake can eat you whole. Travis, a snake can swallow you.
Well, it can, but I'd be a lot for a snake. I'm not too worried about that. But here's the two things that get me. Sharks. I live, in California, which means the beach is available. And every time I go in the ocean, which is not frequently,
But is that what you're thinking about the entire time?
The entire time I'm in
there. Oh, really?
Now that we
have
those
bad
drones that fly everywhere and you can see how close they actually are to you, I'm more scared than ever. And every time I'll go for a hike, I think there could be a mountain lion in those bushes. It could happen. There could be a bear. It could happen. I do not want to get consumed by an animal. So, yes, Funch, I have fear of creatures.
I am petrified of spiders.
I was going to say, the bigger animals, not as much of a fear. The spiders are
spiders,
like,
right? I mean, in my house, I don't do the spider killing. The lady
spider
does spider killing.
Spider bite is fine. It might hurt. You might have to get a shot.
Oh, come on. No, but what about the big, hairy ones?
Let me tell you something. I was in Hawaii. This was, I don't know how many years ago. And there was an area we went through. One of the drives was like straight jungle. Like you're going through just such a tropical climate, which is perfect for them. And every stop that we'd make, I'm telling you, if you decided not to walk on the actual road or the trail, bro, the webs and the spiders that were waiting for you. I'm like, yeah, this isn't a good idea. We should get out of here.
Like Indiana Jones movie.
You'll never see a shark or a mountain lion coming. It'll just be over before you even know it's started.
That's a good thing.
No.
I'd rather not know. By the way, bears, yeah, they go camping and stuff like that. That one's a little creepy, too.
Alligators for me.
What else, Fudge?
Taylor.
Oh, my.
All right, guys. So we had a recent rash of inappropriate fan activity at NBA games with the guy that ran on the court during the Wizards' six-series and also the guy that threw the water bottle at Kyrie Irving during the Nets and Celtics series. Now, Brandon Turney of the Turney and Barber Show said, for the rude fans, their punishment should be, let's give the NBA players 30 seconds to do whatever they want with these rude fans. Now, guys, do you agree with this? And if not, what should we do about these rude fans?
So no,
probably not going to give him the 30 seconds.
Why not? Wouldn't you like to see Kyrie Irving go one-on-one for 30 seconds with that guy that threw a water bottle on him?
Look, what it would do is it would empower idiots even more to do it because, yeah, I want to go fight Kevin Durant. They'd lose if they want to fight him anyway. So, that's not a good – the way you do it, and this is the only way to do it, is you make it economically very painful for these
100%.
Guys.
100%. Yep.
That you take their money. You don't ban them from the arena because that's functionally impossible. But if they got anything, that guy that poured the popcorn on Westbrook, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That guy, if you hit him with a fine that was a few thousand dollars, guess what? Yeah. The next guy's not doing it. Pouring popcorn on Russell Westbrook is not worth $2,500 or $5,000 or whatever it is. Hit them in their pocket and it will stop.
By the way, it was just kind of think about this. We haven't had fans filling up arenas in how long? So you got all these NBA games. I mean, the atmosphere, the environment's been crazy. Yesterday, listening to that Suns-Nuggets game or that Jazz-Clippers game or when the Knicks celebrated because they thought they just won a championship after they won game two against the Atlanta Hawks, the fan experience is amazing. It's so great to see fans back. Those idiots are – I think that was kind of a quick little phase. I don't think we're going to see much more of that, Trav. I think there was so much attention towards what these fans were doing, became a media story, maybe blown out of proportion, but you got to do that because once you take care of it, you probably will have more of a handle on it.
I hope you're right, but I don't think you are. I think it's getting worse, not better.
Still would love to see Russell Westbrook and that guy just go 30 seconds and just see Russell
maybe
Westbrook.
Maybe that's the undercard for the next Mayweather, Logan Paul. They do this
more,
again.
More interesting than Nathan Paul.
Hey, listen,
Logan's
I'd pay $50 for that.
Yeah. What's next?
Taylor.
With the King, you best not miss.
All right, so we got another game here a couple weeks ago. The NFL released their top-selling jerseys for the summer so far, and I want you guys to guess the first seven players on the list with three strikes against you. And I'll give you guys the occasional clue. So go ahead, guys. Hit me with your shots.
All right, so we know Brady.
Tom Brady, number three.
We know Mahomes. The obvious one's there.
Number six.
So this is just during this most recent offseason?
Yeah,
this most recent
offseason. You got to think really hard and like, yeah.
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence is not on the list. He's not on the top seven list. He's like on a top 10 list.
Okay. All right. How about Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson is not on the list at all.
No,
Russell Wilson.
I'm going to take another stab. Is it Zach? The guy that the Jets took, is it Zach Wilson? Is that his name?
Zach Wilson is not on the list.
All right.
Not
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Number seven.
Okay. Hold on. Stop right here. Who wants an Aaron Rodgers jersey that doesn't already have one?
I got another one.
This is the question I don't
get. Come on,
man.
There's one obvious pick. One obvious guy out there.
Lamar.
No.
Man. Lamar Jackson is not on
that list. I got an idea. I got
Dak.
J.J. Watt.
Dak.
Damn, you guys are – that's more than three strikes. Just one obvious guy. Come on,
Dak,
guys.
It's
He's
not
the
Dak.
Story of the offseason.
Oh, story of the offseason.
Not Deshaun Watson.
No.
No. Not Julio Jones.
No.
What the hell are we doing? Tebow.
Tebow. Oh. Tebow's number one.
Get
I'm
out
done.
Of here.
You guys finish this.
BS.
Segment. I'm out. I'm
no
out.
Way.
No.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Tebow
no,
is number
he's not.
One. Tebow has two different jerseys that are number one and number two on the charts.
I hate sports fans. I hate them.
Are you serious?
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Funches, send me the link. Where do I get that jersey?
Why?
Don't know
why.
Guy might not even be on the team in August.
He's a legend.
Tell me why.
remember
what?
That playoff
what?
Game?
At what? What
that Hail Mary.
Tell me, finish the sentence.
Do you remember?
Legend at?
Oh, my. So many things. Where do I start?
We're going to go spend, I don't know how much a jersey costs, $100. We're going to go spend $100 on a jersey because he's nice, because he's polite. Get the out of here. That
Montana.
That is so stupid.
Tom Brady. Tim Tebow. Steve Young. These are the greats.
Rounding out the list, guys, Justin Fields, Najee Harris, another rookie, and Justin Herbert.
That's the worst list I've ever heard.
No, top seven jerseys.
List.
I know. That's just
a bad list. That's a very bad list.
All right. We got to talk about something else. We got to figure out what else we're going to do.
Wow. I was kidding about Tebow. That's an absolute shocker that this dude is still.
I don't want to talk about him.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game. Just hate the game. No,
like
just hate the people. Hate the people that are buying his jersey. Just be upset at them.
We like to have fun here. I'm not doing the Tebow thing. I cannot stand it. It makes my blood boil. So unbelievable.
We should do just how you know we're doing. We do Ask Slee at 9:45. We'll do the bunch of fun. You know we do all that. We should do something like what would Tebow do? And we just everything that we kind of some
not,
of the topics
not
that we
be
have.
Good at football. Is that can that be the answer to every time we ask the question? What would Tebow do here? I don't know. Not be good at football.
Legend.
That's the answer to the question.
What a
so
legend.
Stupid. So stupid. All right, let's do this. Clippers are alive. Mm-hmm. Lakers are not. Where do the Clippers actually fall on the interest meter? That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.